Man's going to let you down. God's never going to let you down. Anchor holds.
Cold since Thanksgiving because I told somebody I'd never get sick. And it's been hard for me to practice or even sing because I feel like I'm singing down in the barrel. So bear with me if I crackle.
You know, we went to a great singing last night over at New Hope Church, the Old Inspirations and the Primitives and McCamey's. such a spirit there. But, you know, one thing I noticed about these singers, no matter how bad they might sound in their voice, they still get up and sing.
Yep.
You know, we use that as an excuse. I can't sing today. I'm a little horsey. You know, just get up and sing anyway, because you're doing it for the Lord. You know, give it your best. Whatever that best is, we need to give that to the Lord. We're going to try this song on you. We've only done this. We really haven't got it to where I like it yet, but we love it. The song is called Hide Thou Me. It's a little tough for me, but pray for us that we have. There's two songs, actually, that we sung about. Going back to Anchor Holes and Refuge. So we need to go to in times of the storms. And we used to have a song about the storms. Well, this fella right here, we go way back. Both these two go way back. They know a lot of dirt on me. They probably put me in jail. But thank you, Lord. Money's pretty good. He paid me good to say a few more good things about him today, but nah, I didn't take it because I could say it without it. He's not only been my pastor, my brother in Christ, but he's always been a great friend. When my mother passed away, he was there.
knew I shouldn't talk about him. But he was there, and he promised my mom that they would watch over us and keep us straight. I remember that. She said, keep them in line. Keep them due in line. And, of course, you move down here, it's a little harder, but, you know, there's always Facebook. You know, he can keep me straight on there. I get out of line, put some on. You shouldn't put that on there. But, you know. But anyway, I thank the Lord for those two. My dear friends here. We haven't long know you go. What, about 10 years or something like that? 10, 20, 10, 15 years? I don't know, whatever. But these two right here has gone back a long time. Miss Linda, a little while longer, I think, the first time. It really close. We was in a Christmas place together back at a church back when we was like 15, something like that. 15, 15 years old. I remember those. And, oh, that was a good day. So, you know, the youth that's in the church, get involved in the Christmas place. Get involved in church. Because a few of us make it through and do good things and carry on what we learned while we was growing up. Don't let them get away. Don't let those kids get away. Don't let the world get them back. Keep them. Do whatever you can to keep them in the Word. And the main thing, stick to the Word. Don't compromise that Word. I'm not going to preach. He's going to do it. And I know you're going to love what the Lord has given him today. And we appreciate the sweet spirit that's here today that makes it, I know, easier for him to present the Word of God to you. Brother Butch Hammett from Roanoke, Virginia.
Amen. I have known Brother David for years. As a matter of fact, his father was our youth pastor when I was growing up. And that's how far back we go. But it is so, so good to be here. I'm so excited to be in this church this morning. I don't normally get to preach at other churches. I've been pastoring now for I'm working on my 14th year. Started this month, actually. 14 years I've been pastoring at Harvest Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. And God has blessed us. We started out with 16 when I first went there. And they asked me, they said, brother, what's the percentage you have to take this church in voting? I said, I'm going to need 100%. There's only 16 people. And the pastor said, well, you'll never get that. That never happened. I said, well, we'll see. And so they voted. And I did get approved for 100%. And I've been there ever since. We're running about between 80 and 90 on Sunday mornings now, and the Lord has blessed us. Souls are getting saved, and hearts are getting right. And you know, that's what it's all about. Amen. And I want you to know I am glad to be here. I appreciate my friends David and Pete Baum. I've known them for years, and they are good friends. They are very, very good friends. I've known them. Me and David hasn't always seen eye to eye on everything, but I'm sure you and him haven't either. And not many people are going to see eye to eye on what David. No, I'm kidding. But it's good to have Boots and Sharif with us today. They are great friends, and I'm down here because of them. They gave us a Christmas present to see them in Cayman, and I said, absolutely, I'll go. So we try to see them everywhere we can, or as close as we can, and so I appreciate the group. But like I said, it's good to be here. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I want to read a portion of Scripture to you in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 6 down to verse number 8. We read this Scripture this morning, and I'll tell you why. A lot of the singing that we have heard had to do with the Lord being good to us. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Amen. Our anchor holds. And so many other good songs that were sung this morning. But I want you to know this morning, God's with you. Listen, if you're here today, you've never trusted God as your Savior. That's my prayer this morning, that you will come to know Him. Listen, folks, one day it's going to be too late. Some of you have been in church all your life. And listen, I don't know any of you this morning. There's only four people in this church I know. They're sitting right up here. But I don't know any of you. And I don't know where you are with the Lord spiritually. I don't know if you're saved. I don't know if you're not saved. But if you're not, God wants to save you this morning. You know, there's only one way to heaven. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. But let's stand for the reading of the Word this morning in 1 Peter chapter 5, First Peter chapter 5, I believe. Yeah, chapter 5, and let's look at verse number 6. It says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Boy, I love that part. Don't you? Don't worry about anything today, folks. You give it all to Jesus Christ because he cares for us. Then verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Lord, we come to you again, thanking you for another great day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege and for the honor that we have to be in your house again today. And Lord, I pray this morning, if there be one here today lost, I pray that you will save them. Lord, if there's one here that's drifted away from you, that may be in a backslidden condition, Lord, I pray that you help them today. Give them what they need, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We're glad today, Lord, you said that if we cast our cares upon you, because you care for us. And God, we thank you so much for that. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for being our best friend. And Lord, I pray now that you just lead, guide, and direct us in all that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I want to share a little thought with you this morning on there's still time this year. We are in the countdown of the year. This is December 29th. And so we got, what, 31, two more days in 2013, three count today. And 2014 is going to be here before you know it. And, it doesn't seem like any time at all that 2013 just started. Time is flying by. And I realize the older I get, the faster time goes. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know why that is. But there's only a few days left until the new year arrives. And all of life is a countdown anyway. And every moment is important. And I want to encourage you today, don't waste any time that you have left. You say, "What do you mean I have left?" Listen, none of us are guaranteed of a tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. But we do know that God holds tomorrow. And God holds the future. Listen, many started out this year with great expectations. I love the new year. I love the new year better than any other time of the year, because it gives you a new start. A lot of us, we make New Year's resolutions. We'll pick it up later. We make these New Year's resolutions, and we get all excited. We say we're going to do this starting in January, and by January 2nd, we're done with a New Year's resolution. "I'm going to lose weight this year." Amen. Somebody said, "Well, you need to, preacher." And I will until I get hungry. But we kind of forget about what we have started out to do. Some are disappointed in what they have accomplished this year. Maybe 2013 hasn't been that great of a year for you. I don't know. Every day is a day that God has made, and we need to be glad and rejoice in it. Amen. So some may be disappointed. Some think that this has been a wasted year. Listen, I don't know where you are spiritually today. But you may feel like this has been a wasted year for you. I got good news for you. This year is not up yet. This year is not over yet. And we can still make this year great. You say, "Well, preacher, we don't have but a couple days left. How's that going to happen?" Listen, when you get your hearts in tune with God and you get right with God, you will see what I'm talking about. And you will know that hey, this has been great. Listen, I love it when people get saved, don't you? Don't I want to make you rejoice and shout when folks get saved? Listen, folks, there's good news today. I got good news for you. There's still time to make this year great. And I want to give you three things today that I hope can be a help to you. Number one, there is still time to be saved. There is still time to be saved. Some of you are in here today, you've never trusted God as your Savior. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" Listen, folks, let me explain something to you about salvation. Salvation is very simple. God gives you the plan. God tells you what you need to do. And all you have to do is accept Him. It is a free gift. We just celebrated Christmas. And I'm sure most of you, not all of you, you received a gift of some kind or the other. And if somebody handed you a gift, said, here, Merry Christmas, I want you to have this. And if you looked at it and gave it back to them and said, no, I don't want it. I don't think any of us in here would do that. Some of you might. I don't know. But, you know, that's the same way with God. God gave us a gift, His Son, to die on the cross. And He gave us that Son, and all we have to do is accept Him by faith. There's still time to be saved today. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get saved. It's not next week. It's not a year from now. It's not on your birthday. It's not any other time. But today is the day for you to get saved. Right now. You know why today's the day? Because right now you are alive, and therefore you have time to be saved. I believe you're alive. Some of you, I'm not real sure about, but most of you, I really believe you're alive this morning. I really do. I've done a lot of funeral services before, but I don't like preaching to dead people. It don't do any good. You're alive this morning. You got breath to breathe, and God has given you power to get up this morning, and God has given you power to come to God's house this morning, and you have an opportunity right now to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have time. Here's what you got to do. You have time right now to admit that you are a sinner. The Bible says, tells us in Luke 18:13, the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Every one of us that are saved this morning, we had to say the same thing. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the first step in getting saved is realize that you are lost. You'll never, ever accept Jesus Christ as your Savior until the Holy Spirit comes in and convicts your heart and gets you to realize that you need a Savior. See, there's a lot of folks today sitting in churches and have grown up in churches and grew up all their lives and been sitting in church week after week and year after year, and they made a profession with their mouth but not a possession in their heart. They've never accepted Jesus Christ. So how do you know that, preacher? Listen, folks, I believe if people have truly accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord, I believe our nation would be different than what it is right now. I believe our churches would be different than what it is right now. If everybody that claims to know Jesus Christ as their Savior really meant it and knew that they were saved, I believe the church would be packed out. I believe that. I believe people would be busy serving God. Listen, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want you to know every one of you, every one of us, everybody in this building today, we're all sinners. And if we're saved this morning, we're saved by the grace of God and His grace only. Listen, folks, you need to be saved. You have time to admit that you are a sinner this morning. You have time to believe that God loves you this morning. Oh, I'm so glad God loves us, aren't you? Listen, we're not perfect. And some of us are pretty unlovable. But I'm glad that God loves us despite of our sin, despite of what we have done, despite of where we've been. Listen, the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If I was to go around to each and every one of you this morning and said, do you believe in Jesus? I guarantee you probably every single person in this building would say, yes, I believe. I believe. Do you believe that He's God's only begotten Son? Some of you say, well, I think so, preacher. I'm pretty sure that He is. Well, that's what I've been taught. Listen, folks, you got to believe with your heart. And you got to believe that God does love you this morning. He cares for you this morning. Listen, and you also have time to believe that Christ has died for you. I'm glad He died for me and you, weren't you? He said in Romans 5:8, but God commandeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you and me so that we can go to heaven. Amen? I don't know about you. I'm so glad He died for me. Listen, folks, He died for me so I can live for Him. Aren't you ready to live for Him? Life is so short. Listen, our government is getting more corrupt all the time. And churches are being corrupt all the time. Pastors are falling out by the wayside every day. You hear a church closing up. And you hear Christians just quitting and giving up. But I'm so glad that He died for me. And I pray every day, God, don't let me quit. God, don't let me give up. God, help me to keep on keeping on for You. Listen, folks, you got to believe that He died for you. But you also have time to believe that He arose again. Amen. He rose again. In Romans 10:9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that's one thing you need to do. Now listen, you need to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen to me this morning, folks. If you can say, well, that preacher, that's hard to believe. That's hard to swallow this morning. I don't quite understand that. I don't understand that either, how man can die and rise again in the third day. But I tell you something, I believe it because God said it. And if you don't believe that, if you cannot believe that today by faith, you cannot be saved. You will not be saved. Salvation is one of the greatest gifts that you'll ever receive. You have time to call on Christ in faith to be saved. Here's what I did when I got saved. You ready? Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever. That's you. That's me. For whosoever. You know, salvation takes place the moment we truly believe. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, the jailers asked Paul and Titus, says, what must I do to be saved? Maybe you hear like that today. Maybe you're thinking today in your mind, well, preacher, what must I do to be saved? You know what he told you? He said, you believe. You believe on Jesus, you'll be saved and your whole house will be saved. You believe. I don't know how many of you today, you got family members that are lost, friends that are lost. Folks, our time's running out. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. I'm not going to stand here and try to predict to you when He's coming back, but I can tell you this. He's coming again. He's coming again. Oh, listen, salvation is not complicated. All that's required is faith in Christ. What is faith this morning? Faith is something you cannot see. Faith is something you have to believe in. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You got to have that faith this morning. Listen, you know, one other thing I like about salvation. Today you can know for sure that you're saved. I wonder how many of you today, and I don't want you to raise your hand or anything, but I wonder if there's ever been a time in your life that you doubted your salvation. Let me just tell you this on that subject. God cannot lie, and He will not lie. And God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that today. But we get to a place in our lives where sometimes we may look and we ask ourselves, am I truly saved? You know why we feel that way? It's not because of what God has done, because of our lifestyle, because of what we have done. You know, when God saves you, God will change you. When God saves you, God will create a new desire in your heart and your mind. You're not the same person you used to be. You're not the same person that you did before, because the Bible says, behold, all things become new. You become a new creature. So you're not the same person. Listen, salvation is not complicated. And those who trust Christ, I want you to know something this morning. You can have the assurance of your salvation. You know why a lot of people don't live for the Lord like they do, or like they should, is because they don't have that assurance. They come to church every now and then. They sit on the pew. They get up, and they go out and do the very same thing they did all before. Listen, when you come to church, it ought to change your life. It ought to encourage you. I don't know about you, but I felt the power of God in this place this morning. Boy, the singing was great. The choir was good. The congregation was singing was good. The people are friendly. Listen, I feel God in this building today. You realize you can take some of this home with you today. You can feel God wherever you are because He's with you all the time. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, "These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you can have eternal life." You can know. Listen, folks, something's better than being saved, and that's knowing that you're saved. You know, one thing I do when I give people the plan of salvation and I lead them to Jesus Christ, I'll tell them, I said, now, based on the Word of God, if you died right now, where would you go after they said the sinner's prayer? Sometimes they say, well, I think I'm going to go to heaven. Why do you think that? I said, according to the Word of God, where would you go? Well, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. Let me rephrase it again. According to what Jesus Christ has said, where are you going to go? Well, I think, I hope, maybe. There is no maybes to salvation. There is no being saved a little bit and saved a whole lot. You're either saved or you're not. You're either born again or you're not. Listen, every one of you was born the first time. Some of you wasn't almost born. You're born. You're alive. You're breathing. And there's no almost to that. And listen, you can have the assurance of your salvation today. You know, the saddest verse in the Bible, I think, is in Jeremiah 8:20. In Jeremiah 8:20 says, "The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved." Boy, how sad that is. Now, my prayer is today that you get saved. I don't care how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter. I don't care how long you've sung in the choir. It doesn't matter. I don't care how long you play an instrument. It doesn't matter. How long you've been teaching Sunday school. That doesn't matter. None of those things will get you into heaven this morning. And I want you to come to a saving knowledge today. And my prayer has been that the Lord will speak to your heart. I don't, like I said a little while ago, I don't know any of you personally, but I do know the one that can save you today. His name's Jesus. There's still time to get saved. Number two, there's still time to surrender. Amen. It's one thing to be saved, but it's another thing to be fully surrendered to God. There's a lot of times folks will come to the altar, they get saved, and as a church, sometimes we just let them go out and do the same old thing. They need to be taught, they need to learn, but most of all, they need to surrender their life to the Lord. I got saved when I was 17 years old, and I didn't always live for the Lord. You say, well, preacher, were you saved? Well, let me tell you really quickly my testimony for a moment. When I was 12 years old, I went to a revival meeting. I grew up in church. My mom always made me go to church. Actually, I grew up in a Lutheran church. And then we went to a Baptist church. But anyway, I went to a revival. A man by the name of B.R. Lakin was preaching. Anybody ever heard of him? A few of you have. He was preaching the revival. I was 12 years old. Invitation came, and he said, if you want to go to heaven, something like this, maybe that of the exact words, he said, slip your hand up, raise your hand, we'll pray for you. Well, you know what? A 12-year-old boy, who doesn't want to go to heaven? Of course I want to go to heaven. Raise my hand. And the invitation was given, and like most people, I raised my hand. Yeah, preacher, you can pray for me, but I'm not coming down to the altar in front of anybody. Well, the preacher came down out of the pulpit and walked down the aisle where I was. I was sitting near the back. And he said, son, if you died today, would you like to go to heaven? I said, absolutely. He said, come on down here and follow me. I get down on my knees, and he said, pray this prayer. And I prayed the prayer he told me to pray. After I got done praying, they stood me in front of everybody. As they come and shake this young man's hand, he just accepted the Lord as his Savior. Let me tell you something, folks. If I had died at that moment, I would have died and went to hell. Words do not save you. It's with the conviction of the Holy Spirit in the heart is what saves you. Many of us have said the words. I was 17 years old. And this is 5 years later. I'll tell you, the preacher was preaching. I'll never forget. He was preaching the message. I remember the song that was sung, "Have Thine Own Way," in the invitation. I'll never forget that. And so I was standing there, and I knew I was under conviction. I knew I needed to be saved. And like a lot of other people, I wasn't going to walk. I wasn't going to do anything. And I held on to the pew. My hands sweating. I'm just shaking. Well, I stepped out of the pew, and I ran down the aisle. And I got on my face and bowed before Jesus Christ. I'll never forget a man by the name of Junior Overstreet. Brother David, you remember him? As a matter of fact, I ran into him the other day. I seen him the other day. We started talking about him. A man by the name of Junior Overstreet came down and led me to Jesus Christ right there in that church. That was 40 years ago. 40 years ago. I was 17. So how old does that make me now? Not as old as some. I'm 57, but I've been saved for 40 years. And God has blessed me. Got in church. And I stayed in church, and I worked in church, and I surrendered my life to the Lord. Not at that particular time. But I did later on. And I got in church and started working. I was a head usher. I was a head deacon. I was a Sunday school superintendent. You name it. It was a small church. So I did it all. Cleaned the church. We did everything. I was excited. Well, lo and behold, the pastor came to me one day and said, "I'm quitting." "So why would you do that?" He said, "Well, people said if I don't quit, then they're going to quit tithing. And I want to keep the church going, so I quit." I said, "Please don't quit." He said, "I want you to stay here as long as you can and keep the church going." I did. I stayed as long as I could until people started talking about the pastor. And then I stood up. I said, "Wait a minute, that's the man of God. No matter what he's done, God will take care of him. You keep your mouth shut." Well, it wasn't long after that I got out, totally out of church. My wife kept going. Bless her heart. I'm so glad she did. We had two small children and kept going to church. And we moved back. This was in North Carolina. Moved back to Roanoke, Virginia, my home church. And I was out of church. I didn't go. Oh, I went every now and then. I went on Sunday morning every now and then. But I wouldn't do anything else. Wouldn't go anywhere else. And I remember the pastor came by and knocked on my door. As a matter of fact, when the pastor came by, when I was out of the will of God, I would turn all the lights out and hide. Hope people go away. I know people do that when I come up to their door. "I know you in there." Anyway, the pastor, he seen me, so I couldn't hide. And he came and sat down on our couch and talked to me. And he was a good friend of mine. And he said, "Butch, I'm going to tell you something. God gave you those two children, and God can take those two children away from you." Said, "Wow." Well, that hit home. That make a lot of people mad. It did me. Nobody's going to tell me God's going to take my kids away. Who do you think you are? But with this man, you never argued with him. You just nod your head and shook your head and went on. It wasn't long after that, they asked me to work in vacation Bible school. They asked me to help at the picnic. You know, we all need help in things. And I was the cook. I cooked hot dogs and hamburgers. And at our vacation Bible school picnic. And I started getting closer. And I got into church. And listen, me and my wife became youth directors. I became, later on, I became a Sunday school teacher. As a matter of fact, David and myself, we taught Sunday school together. And so you know you got a Sunday school teacher over here if you want to use him. I just told on you. There you go, yes. He taught Sunday school for years. Sorry, Dave. But in 1990, at a watch night service, I'll never forget the pastor preaching out of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I said, "You know, I'm not surrendered to God yet." And I came down to an altar. around midnight in 1990. And I prayed. I said, God, I'm not much. I can't do anything. God, I can't talk. I can't sing. I love to sing, but I don't know how. That's why David didn't ask me in the choir. He knew I couldn't sing. That's why he took Linda up here, not me. I don't know how to sing. I love it. But I said, God, I can't do anything. I don't know, but God, here am I. God, I want you to use it. Well, at that time in 1990, I surrendered my whole life to Jesus Christ. Haven't looked back since. God has used me ever since 1990. I'll never forget, I got up and I told the pastor, I said, I feel like the Lord is calling me to preach. Folks, listen, the Lord's calling you to preach and you don't want to preach, don't tell your pastor. Because he'll get you to preach. Well, I told him on a Sunday afternoon, I said, I feel like the Lord's calling me to preach on Sunday morning. He said, I'll tell you what, you get ready, and on Wednesday night, I want you to preach. I didn't sleep from Sunday to Wednesday. I stayed awake all night long, studying, writing down. I said, I don't know if this is what I can do. I don't know if this is what I want. I just don't know. And I talked to other preachers. I said, what must I do? What can I do? I'll never forget the message I preached, the three keys of stewardship. And I preached on talent and tithing and something, testimony maybe, I don't know. I can't remember. Time. Yeah, maybe that's what it was. But anyway, I preached on a Wednesday night, stood down here in the front. The preacher calling me to preach. I'm sitting about in the middle of the way, and I'm walking up to the pew like this. I got up there behind the podium, and I started preaching. God has used me ever since. Folks, I tell you, when you totally surrender your life to Jesus Christ, He will use you. You say, well, what is there for me to do? I'm sure in a church this size, there is something for you to do. There is something for you to do. But you got to totally surrender. I think of Saul when he got saved in the book of Acts. He said, what wilt thou have me to do? The conversation of Saul is a story of a new beginning. You know the story, maybe some of you do, some of you may not. But Saul seemed to have everything he wanted, but yet he had nothing. Saul was a persecutor of Christians, but he was changed on the road to Damascus. Saul then became Paul, he trusted Christ, and he surrendered completely to Him. Some of you are saved this morning, but you've never surrendered completely to Jesus Christ. You know, when Paul totally surrendered his life to Jesus, it impacted the world, and it's still impacting the world today. Paul called for this kind of surrender in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. He said, I beseech you, brother. That word beseech means I beg you, brother. I'm begging you this morning. He said, I beg you, brother, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he said in verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen to me today, folks. God has a will for your life. God has a purpose for you today. And you have to accept it. You may say, well, what is the will? God hasn't showed me yet. Yes, He has. You say, well, I don't know what the will is. You think God's trying to hide it from you? Do you think God wants you to try to find it? Where's the will? I'm looking. I just don't know what it is. Here's what you do today. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Totally surrender your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus this morning, and you will know. Folks, there's still time to do these things. There's time for you to stop resisting God's will for your life. Some of you got great talent. Some of you can probably teach. Some of you can probably preach. Some of you can sing. Some of you can play an instrument. Some of you can do a lot of things. But you're resisting God's will for your life. You're holding back. Say, God, I know what you want me to do, but God, I'm not happy. I'm not happy anymore. You know why you're not happy? Because you're not doing God's will. Some of the most unhappy people in the world are Christians that are out of the will of God. I've been there. I know what that's like. You need to totally surrender your life to Jesus. There's still time for you to stop resisting. There's time to surrender old habits that may hold you back. I want to ask you something this morning. What's holding you back from serving God today? Is it the church? Don't blame the church. Is it the pastor? Don't blame the pastor. What's holding you back? Is it some old habit you got that may be keeping you from serving the Lord? What is it? Why would you not want to serve an all-loving and an all-knowing God? He cares for you. What's holding you back this morning? There's still time to surrender that temper that you may have that is destroying your marriage. Well, the reason I inserted this part in here, that's what I had to give to God, my temper. Boy, I tell you what, I had a temper. But God took all that away from me. I don't get angry anymore. My wife gets mad at me, I just laugh at her. She picks a scooter. Why do you think she's got a broken leg? It was no, I'm kidding. We don't argue. We've been married 37 years. I can't say we never argued in those 37 years. This morning, getting ready for church, and I said, come on, we got to go. I'm hurrying. And she's wobbling around. Anyway, I helped her. I carried her out to the car. Well, not carried her, but. You know, folks, maybe some of you have a temper you need to get rid of. You know, a temper will destroy your testimony. Do you realize a temper will destroy your marriage? I told you, my wife and I have been married 37 years. I know I don't look that old. She's older than I am, but no, I'm kidding. You notice I stood over here, not that there. No, she's not older than me. But we have 8 grandchildren. We have only 2 children. Oh, listen, God has blessed us tremendously over the years. We are truly blessed. And I'm glad that both of my children, my grandchildren, they love the Lord. They're in church today. Boy, I'm glad of that. I thank God for that. But my kids will tell you, boy, Dad really had a temper when we were growing up. And your temper can destroy a lot of things. What's holding you back from serving God? There's time to surrender to God's call to win souls. That's the number one goal that we should all have and strive for. I wonder, as 2013 closes out, I wonder how many souls you won to the Lord this year. I wonder how many times have you told somebody about Jesus Christ this year. I wonder how many times have you handed out a tract to somebody and said, hey, I want you to read this. This will show you how to get to heaven. I wonder how many times you did that in 2013. You got time to do it before the year's up. You got time to do it to tell somebody about Jesus. Listen to me today. Souls are dying and going to hell every day. All around our communities. All around our jobs. All around the churches. Even in the church house. People sitting on church pews are dying and going to hell because nobody ever told them about Jesus Christ. There's still time to surrender to God's call to win souls beginning today. Tell your family members about Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, they think I'm nagging. Well, listen, I'd rather nag them into heaven than love them into hell. You keep on telling them anyway. I want to give you the last thing today, quickly. There is still time for the Savior to come before this year is up. Are you ready to meet Him? Are you ready? If He came back today, would you be ready? Would He say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Or would He say, depart from me, I never knew you? Folks, listen, the time's going to come when we all will stand before God one day. The Bible says in Revelation 22:12, He said, and behold, I come quickly. I believe that today. I believe the Lord is going to come back very quickly in a twinkling of an eye. Listen, He may come before I'm done preaching this morning. He may come before you get home today. Oh, listen, folks, you never know what the next moment's going to hold. But are you ready to meet Jesus Christ? Christ who died and rose will come again. He's going to call the church home.
Hey, listen, we're going to go home one day. God's going to say, son, go get my children. And it's going to be time to go on to heaven. And some of you will get there, and some of you will not be. And some of you, listen, the Lord was to rapture the church today. It'd be just like that. I wonder if you'd be left behind. Say, no, preacher, I won't be left behind. Listen, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow before Jesus Christ. You will give an account of your life one day to the Lord, your Savior. You will stand before Him, whether you believe this or not. The Bible says every tongue will confess. And you will stand before Him one day. And the book of life will be open. He'll be searching your name. You say, well, my name is... You say, depart from me. I never knew you. Some of you may stand before Him, get on your knees and say, look, Lord, I went to church. Lord, I sung in the choir. Lord, I did all these things. Lord, let me in. Depart from me, I never knew you. You know, we find excuses to stay away from the house of God all the time, don't we? We find excuses to not do God's will. We find excuses because of this and because of that. Why would God allow you into heaven this morning? Think about that for a moment. Say, because I'm saved? Did you know that? Why would God allow you to enter in to the kingdom? He's coming back again. 1 John 14, 1 through 3 says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And He said, I will come again. He's coming back, folks. Are you ready? He's coming back. But why would He allow you into heaven? What have you done for Him this year? Well, I haven't done a whole lot, but I've done the best I could, preacher. I'm doing the best I can. But, preacher, you don't understand. You know, we stand before God and we say that to Him. I wonder what He's going to think when He looks at you. Do you realize that nothing ever occurs to God? He already knows everything. He already knows your mind. He knows your heart. He knows already why you're not doing what you should be doing. He knows. Christ, who died and rose, will come again. He's going to come. He's going to raise the Christian dead first. The Bible tells us that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. We're going to be caught up in the clouds to be with Him. He will come with rewards for those who have served. Why would God allow you in that? To a preacher, I got my reasons. I got my reasons why I don't want to serve the Lord. And God understands all of that. God knows all of that. And so God, it's only between me and Him. You're wrong, and that's a lie from the devil this morning. It's not between you and Him. Listen, you call yourself a Christian today. You call yourself a member of a church, and you live like the devil. You live like the world. You do the things of the world. And I want you to know God is not pleased with that, and you are harming the cause of Christ. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is walking around seeking whom he may devour. The devil doesn't want you in church. The devil doesn't want me to preach this message. The devil doesn't want you to make a decision in the altar today. The devil wants you to stay just like you are. That's what the devil wants. That's what the Bible says. Your adversary, your enemy, the devil, he's walking around seeking whom he may devour. What does the devil look like? I don't know. I tell you, if he wore a red suit and a long tail and pitchfork, I know to run away from it. But that's not what the devil looks like. He's walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Christian, listen to me this morning. If you're saved and you're not serving God, the devil's winning. And you know that, you know something, the devil doesn't care if you get saved or not. The devil would love for you to get saved and sit down and do nothing. He would love that. Some of you are doing more harm for the cause of Christ than you are good. Because you call yourself a Christian. You say you're saved. You say you're going to heaven. You say, I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm not going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to surrender my life to God. You know why some people don't surrender their life? They're afraid that God may call them to do something. Just like I did. I surrendered my life, and sure enough, God called me to preach. I said, Lord, there ain't no way I can preach. I can't talk plain. I stuttered. I talked through my nose. When me and Linda got married, for the first year of our marriage, I wouldn't even answer the phone. That's how shy I was. I wouldn't even go to the door. I might be sitting right next to the phone. I said, honey, you get it. You're sitting right next to it. And if I answer the phone, it's like, hello? That's how shy I was, even in my own home. I said, God, you can't use anybody like me. And when I told my family I was going to preach, and my brothers and my sisters and my mom and my dad, and I told them, hey, God called me to preach, they all looked at me like, what? You're going to do what? And my dad told me once, a time I'll never forget, he's been going on to be with Jesus now. I led him to the Lord right before he passed away in 1999. But he told me, he said, son, you'll never get rich preaching. Well, he was right about that. I ain't got rich preaching. I'm not here to preach for money or for wealth. I'm here to do the will of God. Listen, Christ's coming will take place unexpectedly. He may come today. He may come today. Are you ready? Three things I talked about this morning. Number one, receive Christ today and be sure you're going to go to heaven. Number two, surrender to Christ today and make this your greatest year ever. Or if you surrender to the Lord this morning, you will feel like a ton of bricks been lifted up off your chest. Because if you're saved today, you're not walking with God. If you're not letting Him use you, you're very unhappy. You're not happy this morning. Somebody's got a pain, an emptiness in your heart. Maybe only God can feel. And then I want you to do this. Seize the moment for Christ while you have time to do so. He's coming again. Could be today. Could be tomorrow. Could be tonight. He's coming again. Folks, none of us have a guarantee that tomorrow. Today is the day to do what we need to do for God. Time's coming. We'll no longer be able to work for the Lord. Open. Gradually, the government has taken prayer out of school. He said, no, that's been out for a long time. It didn't happen all at once. Gradually, they're taking in God we trust out of our money. Gradually, they're taking under God out of our pledge. The schools today that do holiday programs, which I call them Christmas programs, they won't mention the name God or Jesus. Why not? That's who we're celebrating at Christmas. If you don't want to mention the name Jesus or God, don't celebrate. Gradually, all these things are happening. And gradually, the world will get into the church. And it's happening every day. Every day. The world gets in. And we let it go. We turn our backs. We say, well, we got to be tolerant. We got to love. We got to do this. Listen, folks, Jesus loved us. He loved us enough to die for us. He doesn't tolerate sin. He forgives sin, but he won't tolerate it. He wants every head to be bowed. He's got to be crossed. Folks, I know Jesus is coming again. I'm not able to pinpoint the time. I wish I could do that. That would be great, wouldn't it? To know if Jesus is coming back soon and know when. But I know he's going to call the church home. That's called the rapture. I know these things are going to happen because the Bible speaks so. If you're here today, you say, preacher, if I was to die right now, I don't know for sure that I would even go to heaven. I think I might, but I'm not 100% sure. Can you slip your hand up and write back down this one? Is anyone like that? All I'm going to do is pray for you. Amen. And yes, I'm not sure. Let me just say this, folks. When you die, when you leave this earth, you got one or two places. You got one's going to be heaven, and the other's going to be hell. Jesus don't want you to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Anyone else? Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure right now. If you're here today and say, preacher, I'm saved, but I'm just not totally surrendered to the Lord. I need prayer. Would you slip your hand up and write that down? We're just going to pray for you. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Hands all over the building. Folks, we're going to pray for you. But in a moment, we're going to sing an invitation song. We're going to give you an opportunity to come down to this old-fashioned altar right here and get along with God and ask God to help you this morning. Ask God to give you what you need today. Lord, we thank you again for your message. I pray right now, Lord, that you give the invitation. Lord, there was one that raised their hand for salvation. I ask you to save him before he leaves this building today. Others, Lord, that need to surrender their life to you. And Lord, I pray that they will do that. And then, Lord, I pray for the rest that are here that may need to be totally surrendered to your life. And Lord, I pray right now that they will surrender their will to your will. Lord, we cannot do anything without you, but Lord, we can do all things through you. And Lord, I pray right now that you give us what we need. We thank you for the power. We thank you for the Holy Spirit moving. Help us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you.